Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Steelcast Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arpit Mundra from EY team. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mundra.
Thank you, Renju. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to Steelcast Limited earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY 2027 financial results. Today from the management side, we have with us Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rushil Tamboli, Whole-time Director, Mr. Subhash Sharma, Executive Director and CFO, and Mr. Umesh Bhatt, Company Secretary. Please note a copy of all the disclosures is available in the investor section of the website as well as on the stock exchanges. Further, a detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 27 of the investor presentation of the company. Please note that anything said on this call which reflect the outlook for the future or which could be constructed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Now, I shall hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Tamboli for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Arpit bhai, and very good morning to everyone. We welcome you to Steelcast earnings conference call to discuss the company's performance for the first quarter ended 30th June 2026. Our board meeting concluded yesterday, and the financial results along with investor presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. We trust you had an opportunity to review the same. Now let me begin by sharing an overview of the global and Indian economic environment. The global economy remained resilient despite geopolitical tensions, trade policy shifts, and supply chain realignments. Global GDP growth was estimated at 3.3% for the calendar year 2026. India continued to be the fastest-growing major economy, supported by robust domestic consumption, sustained government-led infrastructure spending, and strong policy focus on manufacturing and localization. GDP growth is estimated at 6.5%-7% for the calendar year 2026. Industrial activity remains strong across manufacturing, infrastructure, and mining, creating a favorable demand environment for key industrial sectors. Government initiatives such as Make in India, PLI schemes, and infrastructure investments continue to support India's long-term manufacturing and industrial growth story. Let me now briefly touch upon industry trends before moving on to our financial performance. The casting and forging industry continues to benefit from strong demand across mining, earthmoving, construction, railways, defense, and other industrial sectors, supported by increased infrastructure investments, manufacturing localization, and global supply chain diversification. Demand fundamentals remain robust, driven by strong equipment utilization in the mining and construction sectors. Continued expansion in infrastructure projects and growing requirements for ground engaging tools, wear parts, and high-performance steel castings used in excavators, loaders, and heavy earthmoving machinery. The Indian foundry industry is projected to grow at a healthy pace, supported by investments in transportation, energy, mining, industrial development, while the forging industry continues to benefit from opportunities across automotive, defense, railways, and heavy engineering sectors. Let me now briefly highlight our quarterly financial performance for Q1 FY 2027. During Q1 FY 2027, the revenue from operation was at 124.82 crores, a growth of 17% from 106.69 crore in Q1 FY 2026. EBITDA during the quarter was at rupees 35.24 crore, a growth of 17.37% from rupees 30.02 crore in Q1 FY 2026. EBITDA margin was at 28.23% from 28.14% in Q1 FY 2026. PAT during the quarter was at 23.71 crore, a growth of 19.26% from 19.88 crore in Q1 FY 2026. PAT margin was at 19% from 18.64% in Q1 FY 2026. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look ahead, the company remains firmly committed to sustainable and capacity-led growth. in line with our increasing production requirements and our focus on reducing carbon emissions, we are significantly strengthening our renewable energy footprint. Currently, two renewable power projects are under implementation, a 2.4 megawatt hybrid power plant comprising of wind and solar, and 1.4 megawatt solar power plant. Both projects are progressing and are expected to be commissioned before 31st December 26. Simultaneously, to cater to growing market demand and enhance our manufacturing capabilities, the board has approved the establishment of Greenfield Foundry with a capacity of 8,500 tons. This facility will manufacture steel castings across a wide range of applications from 5 kg to 1,000 kg and involve a planned investment of approximately Rs. 120 crore over the next 2 years. While energy costs have remained elevated due to the impact of global geopolitical developments and sustained pressure on fuel prices, we have successfully ensured adequate fuel availability to support uninterrupted production. Backed by these strategic investments and operational preparedness, the company is fully geared to meet the growing demand of the market and capitalize on emerging growth opportunities in the years ahead. With increase in input cost of various raw materials and natural gas, we would be having price correction on upward basis, and this will be effective 1st July 27. In the end, I would like to say that as communicated to you in the previous quarter, we remain confident in our ability to sustain growth momentum, maintain healthy profitability and deliver long-term value creation. Targeting a growth trajectory of approximately 20% CAGR over the coming years, and for FY27, we expect a growth of 25% compared to last financial year. There will be a sequential improvement in top line from year on for several quarters. Margins will remain in guided range and focus is to drive top line. Operating leverage benefits should kick in with scale increasing. Increasing capex should give you a sense of how the demand scenario is playing out and how our existing clients are looking at increasing sourcing from us. With this remarks, I would like to thank all of our stakeholders for the continued trust and support. I now invite your questions and look forward to an engaging discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Shubhi Gupta with Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So my first question is that we are seeing, as you mentioned, that we are seeing hike in fuel prices and other raw materials. So how much do we plan to pass on of that to the customers? And I think we've started from July, so how much has already been done and how much will be done in the coming quarters?
As you all know that we have the sales price variation formula with all of our customers. The input prices have increased from March onwards. So the price correction effective 1st April was very minimal. And most of it will come from effective of 1st July. And all the major raw materials are part of the formula and we will be able to pass on everything, all increases.
Okay. So this ground engaging tools, how much of the revenue contribution is coming from that segment?
As of now, it's less than 1%, but by FY29 we expect this to reach 4.5 to 5%.
And sir, how much was it last year for FY26?
I think more or less same as the current year, but we are in the midst of developing new parts. So once they are approved, we will go into serial supplies. And gradually, year on year, we will see an increase with FY29 numbers at maybe about 4.5 to 5%.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Ankur Kumar with Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, you said this year there will be a 25% growth. So that will be like volume or volume plus this price increase that you're talking about?
It'll be, see, effect of price increase, you know, it will happen whatever it has to happen, but we will have a volume growth of 25%.
And sir, as in, even in this quarter, our margins are quite good, and it's 22, 20, 26, 27% types, and we have not got any price increase. So you think margins will also go up in the coming quarters?
Yeah, margins are likely to go up because of increase in input costs, which will be compensated to us. And the operating leverage will also kick in as volumes, you know, increase.
So this increasing co-pricing, what is the rough numbers, sir?
See, it varies from component to component. It varies from customer to customer. But whatever increase we may have in all the input prices, we will be able to pass on everything.
So would you like to comment any rough range, sir, 5%, 10% range? How much?
I think it'd be difficult to project, but one can assume that all the increases in all major raw materials will be passed on, and this is part of the standard formula with our customers from many, many years.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the U.S. railroad side, we were expecting things to start flowing. When can we expect that?
Lately, you know, last several months, we have changed our track, we have changed our strategy. We are not pursuing the U.S. railroad for the time being, because there are many opportunities in better markets, better products, better pricing. So we will address this railroad maybe later and cash on the opportunities available for the other industrial sectors, yeah.
Got you, sir. And sir, on this CapEx, new CapEx, when can we expect things to start in terms of capacity expansion, and when can we expect revenues to start flowing?
Our internal target date to commission the plant is 31st March, FY 2028. And as we speak, we are quite confident of achieving this. So we'll have some additional volumes for FY 2029 also.
So this current utilization will go to around 100% by FY 2028, your expectation?
I think we already uploaded on the stock exchange. We plan to reach 90% by FY 2029. So, and, you know, planning above 90 is not advisable because you'll have many, many bottlenecks when the utilization goes above 90. So when we have this 90% utilization, the additional, the new projects will also start kicking in and giving us higher volumes.
Sure, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Harshil Solanki with Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, team. So I have two questions. I'll list them all together. So in the annual report, our number of employees have gone up by 32 employees, which is only 3% increase. So I wanted to understand whether this strength will be able to help us achieve a 25% volume growth, or do we need more employees to train them and then get ready? This is my first question. The second is, as you mentioned, you have not got any price hikes, but if you see, our gross margins have improved in this quarter. So I wanted to understand what has driven this improvement in the gross margins, whether this has due to the lower cost inventory which we had, or is there a product mix change which has helped us achieve this? And one is, what could be the peak revenue potential that is possible from the new CapEx of 120 crores that we are doing? These are my three questions.
So, as far as people are concerned, we are adequately staffed from for all levels. For the current year targets and our budgeted production, we have people available. Going forward, somewhere towards the middle of this year, we'll start recruiting people, train them, and so they are ready for FY 2028. And then if there's any more requirements, we will again recruit sometime in FY 2028 or FY 2029. Now, that takes care of your question on the people requirement. On the margins, there's a very minimal increase we have got, effective first April. The major will come now, effective first of July. But probably the improvement in margins is because of scales, which was higher volumes. So as I said earlier, the operating leverage will kick in once volumes grow. And to answer your this peak question of the revenue potential in the new facility, it will be about 300 crores.
Okay. Okay, I understand, sir. I have more questions. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhiral Shah with PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So wanted to understand your order book as on, you know, current date.
140 crores.
If you compare with, let's say, last year, same time, what kind of growth it is there on the order book side?
We are generally booked for about, you know, forward 4 months, and every month the orders are replenished. But there, I don't have the numbers now, but there will be increase this year compared to last year, you know?
Okay. Okay. And sir, when you are guiding for, you know, planning to incur a CapEx of 120 crore in next 2 years, so which, you know, segment you are seeing an incremental growth, or which customers is giving you confidence to put up a new plant, you know?
So, you know, as you know, we cater to 9 different sectors, which is, of course, part of the investor presentation. And, so this will be coming from these 9 sectors only. I'm sorry, we will not be able to give names of the customers, but it will be from this end user industries, which we are catering now.
Okay. And sir, as you mentioned about ground engagement tool, that will contribute almost 5% of the revenue. How about in case of defense, since you are also actively engaged in, you know, focusing on the defense side also?
Defense side, we are pursuing, but we are giving that lately, you know, past 1 year, a low priority, because the opportunities, the pricing is far better than defense in what we are doing. So, we have shifted the focus to, you know, sectors other than defense.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Krishna with Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. So first, if you could elaborate more on the growth drivers in terms of segment that we are focusing on, you know, in order to drive this 25% growth, 2027 and 20% annual growth over the next 3 years. And secondly, some more color on the new parts that we're developing, maybe in which segment, or is it, you know, more export-focused or domestic? Thirdly, the new CapEx that we're doing, so are we focusing more on exports? Because What I see is that in Q1 27, although the tariffs and everything was there in the last 1 year, one and a half year, we have seen to increase our export mix year on year. So what are the reasons for the same? And you know, if our exports is more focused towards Europe and other regions rather than US, so an export mix also will help.
See, historically, if you see, our exports have been anywhere from 45 to 50%. In the current year, we'll do exports of about, say, 49-50%. Next year, the domestic should be slightly better, maybe 53%, and export 47%. So this has been the range several years, and the demand is coming from all the sectors which we are catering now, and from customers from each of these sectors. Sometimes, you know, the export mix increases, it goes as high as 60-62% also here. Yeah. But if you see over a longer term, it's 45-50% exports and balance is domestic.
So in terms of new parts, any color on what we're developing for this segment?
I think if you've been attending our investor calls before, there is a continuous drive for new parts development. In last about 18 to 24 months, we would have developed more than 100 parts. So all these parts, they will now be going into serial supply. Plus, in addition to that, the overall demand is also on an increasing trend. So the increase in volumes will be coming from new parts as well as increase in the demand from the customer. It's a composite effect.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mausam Shah with Wealth Guardian. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, yes, on the consistent margins generation. And I have a few questions. So basically, just wanted to know this 90% capacity utilization for FY29 that we are targeting. Is it post-commissioning of the new capacity that we are building, or is it only on the existing 29,000 tons?
No. This 90% what we plan to achieve by FY29 is on the existing capacities.
Because as you said, this would be commissioned in FY 31st March of FY28. So for FY29, this would be already...
Being the first year of operations, we are not yet, fully adding that capacity. But somewhere along the line, we will start seeing revenues from that facility also. So the reason of doing this is because we are reaching 90%. So we need to create additional capacities.
Okay, and just wanted to confirm, this FY26 capacity utilization was 48%, and this quarter one capacity utilization is 63%.
Yeah, but for the whole year we plan to do about 63%.
Okay. And also wanted to confirm on the order book number is 140 crores, right?
Yeah, 140 crores.
Okay, and any update on the Israel defense component that we had supplied?
I think the trials are going on, and we should hear something in the coming few months.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll join the queue if I have any further updates. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aman Srivastav with Bellwether Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So, I just wanted to know, over next 12 to 18 months, what would be our new part contribution to business from existing customers, which is currently not in the existing business? So, yeah, just want to feel in next 2-3 years how big it can be.
Roughly we can assume about 20% of revenues coming from the new parts. This is a very ballpark number, but we'll have to, really deep dive and go and see component-wise. Over the next two, 3 years, 20% of the business will come from new parts, and 80% should come from the existing parts because of increase in demand.
Okay, sir. Sir, we have guided like 25% growth for FY 27 and 20% over next few years. Qualitatively, can you tell us, sir, what is driving this demand?
So, as I said earlier, this is a combination of the new parts going into serial supplies and also increase in the demand from customers. It's a composite effect. And all our nine sectors have been requesting us for improvement in supplies, increase in orders. So overall, the engineering industry in general is doing good in India.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amitabh Vatsya with Sadhan Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have a question with respect to the new CapEx. Whether the land is available for the new one and whether the raw material sourcing would differ from this greenfield expansion, or we are tapping to the alarm ecosystem again?
Government of Gujarat has given this 100,000 square meters of land some months back. So we already had this land parcel available. Secondly, the new facility is exactly 12 kilometers from the existing facility. So the raw material procurement will have the same strategy as what we are doing now for our existing facility. Have I answered your question? Two questions, or was there a third one?
The third one is just on if you can spray some light on the development in ship breaking industry and whether the outlook looks positive from a raw material sourcing perspective for you, because lots of buzz is ongoing in the market.
A steel cast does not use any raw material from the ship breaking, because what we need is we make high strength low alloy steels, carbon steels. And we need a much cleaner scrap with very low sulfur, phosphorus and carbon. So we source our raw materials from elsewhere.
Okay. But your investor presentation has been mentioning along ecosystem the feed of the supplier.
So there are a lot of downstream industries which have come up because of this. And we do buy from those downstream industries, not from Alang, but rolling mills and some other industries which are downstream to ship breaking. So it's from the locational advantage point of view.
Okay. So you are using this ecosystem as a supplier, but not strictly from a ship breaking.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Okay. Thanks for the clarity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saket Saurabh with Sagri Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and for the detailed presentation, sir. So you have talked about nine segments that you cater to, which is six plus three, six existing and new three. So what would be, contribution of, different segments, like how much earth moving segment would contribute and so on, sir? Just wanted to get a sense of segmental contribution and how has it trended, say, over last 5 years, if there is a data around that. Just to get a sense how we have, because one of the major, I think, the turnaround thing that we have managed this is reduced dependence on specific sectors and specific clients. So can you just help me with this data, sir?
See, the major contributing industry sectors are mining, earth moving and construction. all these three account for around 70%. And for the other six, it's about 30%. But over last several years, we have added this new industry sectors to, you know, de-risk our sales. So, say 10 years back, our sales to mining equipment industry was about 84%, which has dropped to about 54% now. Earth moving was, you know, near zero, which is now about 36%. Construction, we were at 15-16%. We are now at about 20-21%. And other sectors, as I said, so we have broadened our sales, you know, by adding customers or addition of new parts. And even the export geographies are, earlier there were two, which are now, we are now doing with about 16 countries. So net, we have substantially de-risked ourselves. Of course, this is not the end of the story. We'll continue working on this for the next several years. So this is what it is.
Oh, sir, I think this is fantastic. Just underpins the long-term mindset that the management has not just displayed but executed upon as well. Now the second question would be, sir, how does that geographical split look like currently? So when I'm looking at geographical splits, North America, Europe, or say Japan, or how do you segregate and what would be the specific contribution within exports?
So the major exports, of course, they are US and Germany, I think both constituting about 70%. And in the balance 30%, we have other, you know, 14 countries here. So the idea is to keep driving this and make sure that the dependence on US and Germany reduces over time.
Got it, sir. And how, what was their share, say, 5 to 10 years ago, US and Germany, were they all, still 70-odd% or much higher?
I think 10 years ago, we used to sell only to US and Germany.
Okay, okay. No, again, sir, a great
thank you,
progress,
sir.
On that
thank
front
you.
As well.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Manish Goyal with Thinkwise Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir. Sir, first question, sir, you said in FY27 we expect 63% capacity utilization. So that actually implies more than 18,000 tons sales, and which would lead to a 30% volume growth. Whereas you, sir, guided for 25% volume growth. So if you can clarify on that, number one. Number two, on exports, sir, this 49% share what we said in FY27, that also is referred to volume, sir, if you can clarify.
Yes, you are right. I did say 25. I should have said 30. Because indications from most of our customers are very strong. So, you know, just I was just trying to be conservative and saying a number of 25%, but yes, 30% is also a distinct possibility. And as I said earlier, the export and domestic mix will be, you know, one can assume 50-50 basis.
Okay, so in volume term, no, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay, okay. And what was the volume in quarter one for export, sir? In tonnage, sir, export tonnage?
I think about 51% was
63% was export.
60 out of 4,000.
That is the value wise, sir. That is value wise. I was just asking for the tonnage. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. The total tons we produced was
4,700
tons, and 60% was exports.
Okay, okay. And sir, on margin front, the presentation says we'll maintain margins, but as you were mentioning in your opening remarks that margins would see benefit of operating leverage. and also now with price hike. So last for the full year, EBITDA margin was 27%. So can we expect at least 150 to 200 bits higher margin, around 28.5-29% margin for 2027?
Yes, theoretically that should happen, and this is what we are going to, you know, strive to achieve.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
And sir, one
Thank
clarification.
You.
Just sorry, sir. Last question. This the revenue share what you mentioned for say mining was 54%, earth moving 36%. Can you please clarify that again? Last question, sir.
I'll just repeat those numbers. For the current year, our sales to mining will be about 27%. Earth moving will be 43%. Construction will be 15%.
Okay. And defense, sir, how do you see that revenue share?
Defense will be about 1%. You know, as I said, we have shifted our focus from defense to other sectors, because in terms of demand, in terms of pricing, by all respect, the opportunities are better. So, but the focus
can
is less on defense.
But overseas custom, can it be become a meaningful volumes in probably next 2-3 years, sir?
We don't have any firm plan, you know. Maybe currently we're doing about 1%, that might go up to maybe 1-2%. But we don't have that focus over the 3-year period more than this.
Okay. And GET now from current year, because presentation also says that FY27 will see growth. So now have we started getting traction approvals for our products,
yes,
from the customer?
Yes, yes. That's a continuous process. Just to give you an example, in FY26, we did about 1% GETS. In the current year, we'll do about 3.5% of the sales. And and gradually, it will go up to about 6% in FY29.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shubham Tamrakar, CFA, from Alturas Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I have one question with respect to inventory. So I was looking at your financials, and seems like there's a rise in inventory, and which has not converted in sales. So is there any specific reason for this dispatches not happening?
See, for our kind of industries, you know, first when the increase in production happens, there is a pileup of inventory. And with a time lag of 1 to 2 months, you'll see again inventory is going down. So, and then month on month, we then work on elevated levels here. But when the ramp starts for short term, maybe 1 to 2 months, we will have additional WIP which has not been converted to sale.
Okay, get it. And with respect to our capacity utilization, we are what is the capacity utilization of this quarter, and what we are expecting by the end of this year?
By the end of this year, we'll do about 63%.
Okay.
And for the quarter, April, May, June, we did 66%.
Okay. Yeah, right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Harshil Solanki with Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, I have only one question. So in the annual report, you have mentioned that you are transitioning some manufacturing process to electricity-based systems because there is a shortage of natural gas, LPG, etc. So I wanted to understand whether you will be looking to add more of solar, and whether in the longer run this will lead to more savings for us. Have you thought of anything of this sort?
On which page are you referring to?
I'll have to go back, but I have noted down in the notes. Maybe if you want, we can take it offline.
Yeah, I just want to read that statement again, just trying to understand. So if you know the page number, we can refer and respond to you.
One second. Just let me pull it out. So page number 30, page number 30 of the annual report, the heading is Proactive Energy Transition.
Really? See, one is, of course, as you know, we have got two power plants under commissioning now. One is hybrid, which is solar and wind, which is 2.4 megawatt and 1.4 megawatt exclusively solar. Second is we are considering to transition ourselves from, instead of using natural gas, we use electricity. So this is a thought process which is an ongoing thing. So maybe over time, over 2-3 years, instead of using natural gas as fuel, we use electricity.
Okay, so I was just trying to understand whether this will lead to further cost savings for us, and that is the whole idea in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. The only thing is we are not able to predict the natural gas prices, whether they go up, whether they go down, because compared to February end prices, natural gas is about 50-55% expensive. At the current gas prices, there will be saving when you use electricity. But, you know, over a longer term, we don't know what could be the natural gas pricing.
Okay, okay. Got it. And one more question, that what are we planning to do with the incremental cash that we generate over the current year and the next few years? Because 120 crore capex is done, but we'll generate significant cash also. So
as we have said, we are a debt free company. We want to continue to maintain this debt free status. So whatever cash accruals we will have, we'll generate from now onwards in the coming 2 years. We will use to, you know, increase this capacity.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah. This was helpful. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankur Kumar with Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, I wanted to understand for this 18,000 ton of guidance, but we have done about 4,000 in Q1. So, and you said that we are seeing very good demand from all our customers. So can you comment which all are going to contribute much, and when is it? Is it like linearly growth over the next 3 quarters, or how should we think about it?
See, as I said in my, you know, welcome remarks, that sequentially for coming few quarters, there will be increase in top line growth, quarter on quarter. The demand is from all the 9 sectors we have been catering to. So have I answered your question?
Sorry, sir. I think I couldn't understand. Couldn't hear fully, sir. Can you please repeat?
See, as I had said earlier in my, you know, that welcome speech, that there will be increase in top line, and that's the drive we are having to drive towards increase in top line. So automatically, the bottom line is taken care of. Yeah. So quarter and quarter, you will see improved sales. Yeah.
Positive. Improve volume as well as improving realization.
Actually, absolutely. And the composite effect of that will be we will expect minimum 25% growth over the last financial years.
And to a previous participant, you also said margin can also go to 28.5, 29 types.
Yeah, the question was, can we get additional 1 to 2%, which I said, yes, it's a distinct possibility. And with the operating leverage kicking in, this should happen.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of K. Manunath, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes,
Chetan, congratulations on the consistent goodness of the numbers. My question is, now you're planning an expansion and you want to finance it by internal accruals only. My suggestion is, why don't you go for a right issue for about 60% of the project cost, so that the efficiency and economics will work out substantially. Because, for example, if you price issue at around 200 or 300, the bulk of the project cost can be financed by premium itself, which need not be serviced. And it give more flexibility and it will be less vulnerable. The resource can be used elsewhere also. My second question is, Now, you have been earning more than double the equity every quarter by your consistent hard work, perseverance, foresight. Why don't we consider a bonus issue? It gives more visibility. It will improve our brand equity and it will improve the shareholding cult also. And the third is, with the consistent improvement in quality, why are you not focusing on certain specific defense components? So that we can improve our sales productivity in the long run.
So thank you. So your first question was about this right issue. Now company already has 120 crores of reserve. If you see March 26 balance sheet, its money is there. Now we are investing 120 crores over the next 2 years. So that we will be giving using the internal cash accrual to fund this investment.
Yeah.
So with enough of funds already with the company, would it be prudent to do a right issue and take more money from shareholders? So
this is something at a substantial premium now.
True. But at this point of time,
submission is, if the project cost is 100 crores, If you take a premium of even 200 rupees, the project cost for the company will come to just 10 crores.
Okay, I'll take your suggestion to our board of directors, but please understand the company does not need any more resources from the shareholders. In fact, if the equity goes up, then the earnings per share will go down. So these are some factors. Yeah, marginally, but it will go down. Okay. Second, on your suggestion of bonus issue, yes, surely I will take up in the forthcoming board meeting. And your third question is about defense. Now, at this point of time, we have a lot of opportunities from other areas other than defense.
And
according to us, these are better than defense supplies and I always tell people that one of the most riskiest business is defense business here, because you're selling only to one customer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So yeah, the risk in defense is very, very high. Of course, it's lately in India and the stock market, defense is a big fancy word there. But I see a lot of risk in the defense business. However, your suggestion is well taken, and if there are any opportunities which comes along the way, we will surely cater this. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your compliment also.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saket Saurabh with Sagari Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up, sir. I have two quick questions. One, so is our exports, sir, slightly underreported? When I say that, maybe the domestic, we might be a tier two supplier, and then domestic supplies can further be used by, say, a tier one supplier or the OEM to use at export location. So that is one point. Second question is, sir, usually it happens is that the pass-through, cost pass-through varies from exports clients to domestic clients for other auto ANC. So usually for domestic players, the pass-through could be on a monthly basis, but for exports, it could be even quarterly. In our case, it seems the major pass-through has happened almost with a quarter lag. So any specific input on that, and how does our lag between cost pass-through? So these are the two questions, sir.
So generally, when there is an increase, we get an increase with a lag of one quarter. And whenever there are reduction in input cost, the pricing is dropped with a lag of one quarter. So this time, the costs are increasing, so we will get compensation at the effective 1st of July, as I said earlier. What was the other question? I'm sorry, I forgot.
So first question was regarding exports. So right now, say, if our exports revenue is 50-50, but is there a, say, exports is 50 and domestic is 50, so is there a possibility then that we supply to, say, we are tier two suppliers to some of our accounts, and they further export our component later on? So which might mean that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can answer your question. First of all, Steelcast is tier one supplier everywhere. I think more than 98% or 99% of sales are as tier one supplier. We give directly to the OEMs. Now, the OEMs in India might be exporting some portion of what we supply. So if you consider that, then the export numbers with direct exports and indirect exports will be slightly higher. But we really don't know which customer exports how much.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. And sir, is currency fluctuation also a pass-through? Or some companies have contracted it in a similar manner that any currency dip or upside is also pass-through. What is in our case? Do we hedge or do we retain? Yeah.
In our case, we share with the rupee depreciation or we share the rupee appreciation.
Okay.
It's shared with the customer.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Manish Goyal with Thinqwise Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity again, sir. Just on the order book, sir, you mentioned it is 140 crores, sir, which is probably the next quarter revenue. So on visibility side, sir, what is driving the confidence for such strong volume growth in such a challenging geopolitical situation, sir?
See, there are several factors. One is, of course, indications from our domestic and export customers of increased volumes. The commodity prices are at elevated levels. Infrastructure spending in India as well as abroad is on an increasing trend. And other sectors like railways, there's a lot of investments happening. So across all industry sectors, there is an increase in demand. And industries like casting and forging will do well. If you see, say, automobile, that too is growing at 10-15%. So in spite of all the geopolitical issues, India is slightly insulated. We have a large domestic consumption.
Yeah.
However, there will be some cost pressure here and there. But overall, India as a country and the engineering industry in general should do well.
Okay. So ideally, this 140 crore execution would be like 3 to 4 months, or how should we understand, sir?
See, this is the value of orders. Now, as I've said before, we have this firm business for 3 months, and every month an additional month is added. So at any point of time, we generally have three, four months of order booking.
Okay, okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you to each one of you for being part of our earnings call and participating in this call. We appreciate your support and trust in us. We hope we've been able to address most of your queries. In case of further queries, you may reach out to our investor relations advisor, Ernst & Young, and they will help you to connect with us. And once again, thank you very much for being part of on this call. And also thank you to Ernst & Young team for organizing this call. And thank you again to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.